start in 3, 2. Hey, welcome. You're listening to the Roundtable Otaku Podcast for Friday, June 17. And I'm your host, Mr. A. Actually, this is the 15th episode. And joining me here today is Kuro. So, how are you?
I'm fine.
You might be wondering why are we speaking in dollars right now, but actually we're trying to we're damn speaking it. In dollars. what are you saying, Kuro?
I'll carry an offer from here. I mean, we're speaking in purely English because we're trying to see if we can finish a whole show with speaking purely English. Basically, this is an experimental show for the both of us. So, yeah. Yes. If we have some errors along the way.
Yeah, we have funny accent, and also Anton is gone for a while. He may be back on maybe in October, November, and December break. Actually, he might join us later, but I'm not really counting on it. And where's Brian? Actually, he should be here, but for some reason, he's missing
something else.
So it's only us, Kuro, and me. We're gonna talk about anime in this English experiment episode. But But before everything, before we talk about anime, Kuro, what did you do? Did you do anything last week that is anime related or geek related?
I watch E3.
Oh, you watch E3! Oh. So you want to jump on the topic of E3. I never really knew that you are looking forward with the newest, latest releases from the Big Three.
I'm a geek. What can I say?
Let's just jump in with the E3 event, or actually our impression of the E3. I've watched all the big three, and also I think I watched the EA press event. So on the big three, who do you think steals the show this year?
First, let me cap it off. E3 for this E3, Microsoft went purely Kinect power. Just basically showing off the Kinect capabilities. Sony, well, you know, for starters, they apologized for the whole PSN incident crap, and they have a new handheld console, which is called PS Vita.
Yeah, it's a stupid name, but okay, yeah.
Nintendo has a new console also, which is called Wii U, which kind of rhymes with Weeaboo, but yeah, it's called Wii U.
Yes,
and they have new releases and a few new return titles, but yeah. Honestly, for me, what steals the show is like PS. Sony steals the show for me because the PS Vita is just really awesome.
Yeah, if I have to choose between an iPad Touch and a PSV, I'm calling PSV, I would go with the PSV. Actually, the PSV, if the price is to be counted here in the Philippines, it's very cheap.
It runs around 13K.
15K, the I most expensive. Yeah, it's 15K is the most expensive they can put.
They already went forward with the price. I mean, PS Vita is like $249. So yeah, converting to 10 to 13K, 15K.
Yeah, 15K is with the importations and everything. Maybe if we can, if Data Blitz, the premium of the only store that sells original games, sells this kinds of this console when it's released this year, the most expensive we can go is 15K. And although we have it's nice that Sony learned its lesson during the launch of the PS3, the hardware on the PSV is quite. The specs are quite high, but From what I've heard, the PSV is the parts that use in it are quite is off the shelf. You can buy it. You can buy it almost not really anywhere, but it's available right now. It's available to any manufacturers. If I'm not mistaken, the processor, the screen, they're based on parts on tablets, on smartphones. So that's why it brought the price a bit low than what it's supposed to be, because the PSV as a console, as a portable console, it has so many features like the gyroscope, the touch sensitive pad at the back, the OLED screen, which maybe if we have seen it personally, it could be a very gorgeous graphics. What kind of feature you found in the PSV that blows you away or makes you want it?
The one feature that
not really like. One, but any it's feature you
free. It is the PS Vita is region free.
Oh, hey, did they say that?
It is region free, and that hooks me.
And amazing. Also,
I can use it anywhere.
Since the PSV is somewhat advertised to be a near PS3 quality, the Sony's direction in this year's games are most likely cross platform integration, wherein you can carry your games anywhere you go now. So if you are on the go, you can play on the PSV, and if you're at home, you can use it. You can play the PS3 version of the game, the demo that was shown. Like if I'm not mistaken, it's Ruin, where it's like a Diablo clone or something. That you can just transfer a save file and play it on the PSV. Right?
Yeah, and one more thing is that the PS Vita is really kind of an interactive hardware, you know. When you play, you can tilt the console if you're saying like playing a racing game, and if you're like me who has the habit of tilting his body alongside driving the game, you can tilt it along with you, and you know it will also tilt the game. They showed and you know the touchscreen at the back is really kind of also maybe a part of an integral game. So yeah, PS Vita is off the hook.
There's this looming concern, like when we go back to the transfer, the cross-platform integration, there's this looming problem or potential issue that Sony can mess up, and Sony is not really a company that usually goes with the best solution. When it comes to cross-platform, there's this question, especially in these games, that do I have to buy the game twice in order to use this cross-platform integration? Or do I have to pay a bit more? Just maybe like, when I buy the PS3 game, will I just add additional $10, let's say, to be able to buy the PSV version so that I can do the cross-platform? Because if Sony goes with the direction of you have to buy the game twice in order to make use of it, then the PSV will just be nothing but super, it's a very expensive machine or a very expensive hobby for gamers, and especially, and what's more is that people will just not buy these kinds of games.
I really don't know. I'm not sure. Still not sure.
I'm sorry. Okay,
but
I continue.
As far as I'm concerned, I'm a RPG-er. I'm a one-player person, so I never really cared about that. But now that you think of it, yeah, it is quite a concern. But personally, I think Sony will handle that. I mean, they've learned already from the PSN incident.
Mm-hmm. Yes, indeed. And it's actually funny that the PSV has cross game chat, where people can, well, as long as you're connected to the internet, people can just chime you from any game, and the PS3 doesn't have that. It's very interesting. And and another thing is they're bringing so far there are a lot of games that's using the PSV. Especially one of the biggest titles that is going in PSV is the Uncharted, and from what I can see, it's a very superb game actually, and I don't know.
Uncharted is an award-winning franchise for Sony, so
we still
have to make it.
Do we have any titles? Maybe if you have listened or read any blogs, any titles from the Japanese games, aside from Square Enix, of course. Of course, they already have some.
Atlas. No, Atlas, who released the famed Shin Megami Tensei franchise and Persona series, have announced that they will release Devil Survivor 2, which is a sequel of the original Devil Survivor, plus KOF 13 for the American for Northern America. So it's basically English version of KOF 13.
And what was the original platform when it was released, the King of Fighters?
I don't know because it's more of an arcade gamer. It's more of an arcade game.
I just remember
it was KOF was originally SNK, so yeah. Just like, wow.
What did you say?
KOF is originally a SNK game, so yeah, I was really kind of surprised that Atlus took KOF 13, which is really amazing. I was kind of amazed at that. I don't know what Atlus is doing with that.
I just remembered something that one of the questions I had with the PS Vita is that since the let me just said again that the quality in the graphics capabilities of PS Vita is almost somewhat like the PS3, and this also brings the question that the games that will be released on the PS Vita will have to have a bit more quality when it comes to the game development. So that means that the cost of developing a game in the PS Vita might be similar or somewhat near to the qualities or to the expense needed to make a good PS3 game. So this brings to question is this: how much is a game in the PS Vita? Will it be a $60 game, which will not be actually something that is it will be a problem for the Sony. And we still also don't have, I think I already said this, we don't have what kind of, how do we get our games? Is it will it be in the PS Go like scenario where games will now be downloaded instead of being bought in a UMD or maybe in a cartridge like setting?
I don't know, I think it will still be kind of like PSP style things, you know. I mean, I think you'll get your games the usual
buying a physical media in a store or something like that, or ordering it online.
Yeah, I think so, because Sony's a business, though.
Well, in my theory, I think that what happened in, maybe they will continue what they did in Go, but because since the problem with PSP Go is that most of the games are already, there's already an established library when it was released, and introducing a new way of getting games on a current system is not really something that people would usually embrace. But now that we have a new system, the PS Vita, Sony can push this same technology in the PS Vita, and that's the way that people will just buy their games using the PSN or using their PS3 and just download it through the PSN network. Now the question will be is that if that is the case, then it will have a bit of a problem when it comes to non-recognized countries. Countries that are not recognized in the PSN, especially the Philippines, where we actually don't have a PSN region here. So that's why we cannot buy our games. We cannot buy downloadable games as straightforward as the other countries. We have to buy PSN cards, which are overly priced here for some other reason. No, they're overly priced. That it's kind of disenfranchised. It's more like takes away the love for the brand.
I don't know. I mean, as far as Filipino gamers is concerned, I mean, I don't think that they really care about the online connectivity, blah blah, that issue. I mean, as far as I know about Filipino young Filipino gamers is that they enjoy playing with their friends. I mean, they really never really care about that online connectivity issue stuff. unless you're really, you know, rich kid who likes to play with foreigners. I mean, yeah. But as far as the average Filipino young gamer is concerned, nah, screw connectivity. I'm gonna play with my friend. That's it.
Oh well, that's a part of being a Sony fan, especially in this kind of way, in this generation of gaming. Especially when everything's interconnected. So anyway, moving on. We mentioned in Nintendo and Microsoft. So let's put a brief mention on Microsoft, being that as you said, the entire conference is focusing on Kinect. And what's a bit of a problem here is that I'm sorry. Okay.
I'm gonna cut you off at this point. I really don't care what you say forward next about Microsoft. As far as I'm concerned, I have only one opinion about Microsoft. It is lame, it is crappy. It is good for a show, but it will be a source of customer complaints, trust me on that. What I'm saying.
I don't know if
and
this
I cannot comment further on any Microsoft
because I'm thinking that Microsoft is paying these developers to have the Kinect feature in their games, especially this major game Mass Effect, where simply that all of the features that is placed on or that is integrated in the Mass Effect can be done with just a headset. Actually, if this is ported into the PS3, you don't need to buy this camera with a lot of mic. You can just get a headset, a Bluetooth headset, and you can do voice command in it. Even so, reciting your character's line is kind of a bit awkward.
I think it's okay, but you know, the Kinect itself, I never really bought into that. It looks gorgeous when it's being demonstrated, but it's if you already use it. I mean, I don't know. It's never really like Sony, I guess. I just have this hate for Sony when it comes to gaming, I guess.
So well, Sony or Microsoft?
Microsoft. Pardon. Sorry. Microsoft.
Okay. Actually, I made a bit of a promise. Maybe I'll just break it. That if Sony named the MGP as PS Vita, I will start hating Sony and just buy Microsoft products. But when it's priced for $250, it's hard to resist. But anyway, going back, the only game that I find very interesting that is integrated to Kinect is Dance Central. I think you have seen Dance Central, right?
Yeah, it's a party game.
But it's the perfect. Game for Kinect.
I'm not really a fan of party games when it comes to Sony. Microsoft. If I'm gonna play party game, I'm gonna switch to Nintendo.
why don't? Dance Central is the best game for Kinect. Did you see how? Do you see that that you can dance like? Dancing.
I just didn't favor Kinect. Here's the thing. I work for Microsoft Xbox call center, customer service call center. So I know what I'm saying. So I know what I'm saying. When I say I hate Microsoft Xbox with a passion, I hate it.
Okay, so I see where you're going there. And maybe you're the one who told someone that Microsoft is breaking those modded Xbox 360s by putting them
Ring of Honor.
You're not that person who said that. Okay. No, because I see your point. But anyway, Kinect has its has its potential, but I guess it's not really your thing. So if it comes to party games, you switch to Nintendo for releasing their Wii U, which it's not really a next big thing for a revolutionary.
And here's the thing: when you watch the E3 of Nintendo, it really feels like fail because you know. They haven't really forwarded the full package of the Wii U. They only showed the controller, but they didn't show you the actual console of it. And plus, they reused some of the E3 images of Sony and Microsoft. So it's like kind of lol.
Is it really true that they used an Xbox?
Sony. They reused Sony images and Sony and Microsoft images for their E3. So it's quite enough.
It seems that
personally, the only thing that I like about the Nintendo E3 is that, well, 3D Tetris, which is kind of like the only thing that I like there. Wii U is okay, but it's not spectacular. Smash is an auto win, it's almost for everyone. It makes a pro gamer out of a casual gamer, so yeah.
I don't really understand. I always see as Nintendo as the Mac cult for games, because I don't really see why people are so excited in these games like Pokemon, Mario, which is usually the same thing rehashed over and over and over.
Yeah, that's the one thing. They only rehash. I mean, they rehash
their old franchises. Zelda.
They rehash Luigi's Haunted Mansion. They rehash Smash. Much to my annoyance. They rehashed Mario. They almost rehashed everything, except for a few returning titles. Everything's almost rehashed.
But it's still the same.
Kind of disappointing.
There's no IP running in. There's new IP in Nintendo.
But let me cut off you. One saving grace in Nintendo's E3 is that for the Wii U, there will be new games such as Tekken, and other games. I mean,
well, because
the one thing I'm excited really about Wii U is that you know there will be new games such as Tekken, Ghost
Recon.
Ghost Recon and others. If you're a Nintendo guy and if you own a Nintendo and you know you're tired of playing nothing but party games and you want to play something else a little bit more competitive, then the Wii U is really for you.
Well, okay, because of the latest hardware upgrade that they had and which makes a good opportunity for third party developers to see Nintendo as a key vector for expanding their scope, because the reason why Wii is not really something that people look into when it comes to serious gaming is because it's because of its last gen hardware, and now they already reach out or catch up to the big two, and that's why games or third party games like the one that we usually see on Microsoft and Sony, now they can now be ported to the Wii U, which makes it which makes everybody happy in a sense. But of course. Oh, okay, go on.
Go on.
I don't know if this new surge of trend to the Nintendo fans, because in the Wii, what happened is that these hardcore fans were neglected just to cater with the to the casual fans, and now Nintendo will now let other fans, hardcore fans from other division, from other sectors or sects, or Microsoft and Sony, to enter into their territory. I don't know how they will accept it, because the Nintendo is usually, like you said, like what the Nintendo does is rehashes things. Now they have this Tekken, which is we usually see it on the wait, was it Tekken in Sony? I mean in Microsoft. Was there a Tekken in Microsoft?
No, sorry. I think it Tekken is
exclusive.
Sony exclusive. For Sony, I think.
Okay.
Well, my comment here is that I think it's a good thing, because it will bring new blood into Nintendo. And one thing commendable about this step of Nintendo to bring new games into the Wii U is that they know the right developers to nudge in order to make games for the Nintendo, which is really brilliant. Which I was looking for Nintendo for quite a long time, which is something new. And finally, they answered my prayer regarding that. So yeah.
Oh well. Any games that you look forward to? In general, not really in Nintendo. Any games? Aside from
I'm looking forward
Altus type that you just said.
I am looking forward for Tekken X, Street Fighter X Tekken. I'm really looking forward to that.
But we haven't heard anything about the Tekken, what you said? Street Fighter X Tekken, right?
Street Fighter X Tekken is, I think, to be released this year. The Tekken, the Namco counterpart, which is Tekken X Street Fighter, is due to release for next year, because Harada is prioritizing Tekken Tag 2. Yeah.
Okay. It seems that the the Street Fighter X Tekken is simply aimed for Street Fighter fans, and the controls are exactly designed for them, right? So it's more of a okay.
So it's more of you're just basically playing Street Fighter with Tekken characters. Yeah, and how will Capcom do that? It's up to them. I have faith in them. And vice versa, how will Namco pull off Tekken X Street Fighter? I have faith in Harada. So yeah.
Any other?
What am I looking forward else? Uncharted. I'm looking forward for Uncharted. Uncharted.
Have you played the first and second Uncharted?
I haven't really. That's why I'm really looking forward to it. Because I really want to experience it.
I mean, it's like every time when I played that, it feels like I'm in a movie. It's like playing National Treasure, actually. But of course, it's much better. The story is just mind blowing for something that it keeps you hype up to know what's going to happen next. if you've seen the story, how can I say this? It somewhat reminds me of the Ramon Revilla movie Agimat, because it revolves around Drake's being a very lucky person. I mean, being almost like an immortal, because he escapes various counts of death. Almost he emerges the verges of death, and still comes out unscathed. Oh yeah. Speaking of Drake's, what do you think about the new Tomb Raider reboot?
it's okay. I mean, the graphics are solid, and basing from the preview, I think it's looking good. Hopefully, it won't become a flop.
So you haven't even played? You haven't played the Tomb Raider franchise?
I've played one or two Tomb Raider games, and yeah, they fell kind of flat. I mean, graphically and story-wise. And the new Tomb Raider, which is showcased on E3 for Microsoft, was really amazing. I mean,
it looks
kind of intuitive. It looks kind of intuitive. So, what? It's amazing, and I'm hoping it will be big.
The trailer, actually, the demo that they show is very nerve-wracking in my sense that I can feel Lara's pain. The way how the level was designed to see her struggles to survive that obstacle that was given to her. It surely makes you more connected to that person because everything, because he was in deep pain when in that level. It just shows that the guys at Crystal Dynamics are doing their job to revive the franchise, to make the people get interested again with this franchise.
Yeah.
So that's it for the E3 commentaries that we usually. It was a wonderful week, and I also have other games, but especially like Serious Sam 3 that is due somewhere, I don't know if this year, but anyway, that's just me. So moving on to something local. Yesterday, I just attended this press conference. This is the first time that I have attended an actual press conference, and this was about the next week's big event. Not really biggest, no, actually the biggest event this year, as they always say, is the ToyCon, or the Toy Convention. This is their 10th year. Started at 2002, I remember. So it was held at the Eurotel at Ermita, Manila, and we were brief with their what to expect in the this year's ToyCon. One of which is that, of course, the usual sponsors were various Marvel movies are being associated with the ToyCon. So the Green Lantern, Kuro, can you help me name some Marvel movies that's coming out this year? There's so many. Captain America, like I said, Green Lantern. I think there's this Transformers movie. There's a Transformers movie coming out this year.
Dark of the Moon,
Harry Potter, those movies that there will be associated in this year's event. Actually, just those are not my concern. Another one is that the cosplay and this ToyCon is going to be the elimination or the selection. For the Asia Cosplay Meet. So this is the elimination round for the Philippines for the Asia Cosplay Meet, if you remember that. It was held a separate event last year. Today it will be this year it will be combined with the ToyCon. So whoever wins this contest, this ToyCon contest, it will be this contestant will be representing our country to the finals in Singapore. In which I remember last year that we won in that contest. There we will be battling out with Malaysia, I think Singapore, and what's another one? I think China. I can't remember. But anyway, it will be an elimination round to battle out with the main event there. Other things. Oh wait, Anton is wants to join. Let me see if I can make him join. Yeah. Hello, Anton. We're actually doing the podcast in English. Are you there? Oh well, let's go back.
Continue with
What I'm about to say. Aside from that cosplay meet, we're gonna the Chinese. I forgot the name. This Chinese film group their famous work is Kung Fu Hustle, the one that is for that matter. They will do a live filming of their film called Cosplay Nation. It will feature their they will have this Alodia, our cosplay goddess will play a big role in this film, so she will be expected to be there in the event. So that means that there will be a lot of spectators, photographers for that matter. So this filming group will film the event. I don't know how should I say this. I've read the synopsis of this event, this Cosplay Nation movie. Actually, it's not really a documentary; it's more of a feature film. So it talks about this girl who got fed up with her family for being conservative. So he uses these channels to cosplay. She focuses on cosplay to somewhat express herself, and from doing cosplay, he gets to meet various people. He meets people around the world. Then he met this Caldonia, and then there, and I guess the ToyCon will take part in that for some reason. They will have their separate stage. Actually, there will be two stages in the ToyCon. One is for, of course, the usual event. We'll be doing their panel discussions and whatnot. Then there will be this Cosplay Nation stage. I don't know what will be done there, but anyway, that's their stage. Well, that's much about ToyCon. You can buy the ticket the Mega Trade Hall office. They will be freebies if you pre-order. So mostly that's what was discussed in ToyCon press con yesterday. I got a lot of freebies actually. ABS just gave away some MMORPG game. I will not install it. They got some swag, ToyCon swag. Get a T-shirt, I guess. Poster. So anyway, actually, yesterday event was a bit. It started late. Actually, it's supposed to start at 2 p.m., but it started around 3. But anyway, it ended at least at 5. So I guess it was okay. So that's what happened in ToyCon. Actually, I originally don't want to attend that event, but given that our organization, actually our group, the Dermore group, will have some part with it, so. It's a good opportunity to at least spread the word that Terimove group is not just a group, it's starting to get its recognition. Anton, are you there? It seems you're just being quiet.
He's quiet. Go on.
Oh, just me. Oh, I see. So there are angry parents besides him. Okay, let's start with our anime season discussion. This is episode 10, I mean week 10. We're nearing the end of the spring anime season. We're entering the summer in July. Yeah. So let's start with our favorite, Kuro, Anohana episode 9.
Yeah.
I find it very awkward.
Anohana episode 9.
Yeah. I find it very awkward now that that Menma suddenly. I mean, everybody knows that Menma exists, and seeing Menma bake steam buns, steam bread, is.
No, I think. Yeah, go on.
But actually, this episode is it's quite a good episode actually. We get to see Jinta, Yukiatsu, and Anaru goes on this tension between each other. Actually, it's more on now that they know Menma existed. It seems that the past just restarted. I mean, it shows up again. Yukiatsu is so. Yukiatsu is now not really desperate, but more of rather wanting to communicate to Menma, but she can't. Then Anaru, Anjo is quite pitied herself now that that Menma is there with them, she cannot win over Jinta now. She seems being beaten by that girl. Continue.
Episode 10 is basically this.
9. Actually, it's 9.
9, yeah, rather. Episode 9 is this. Everybody knows that Menma is truly sweetie. And the past, past wounds come, and past wounds are now haunting each of them. Basically that. Even Jintan, his past wounds are now has just come back to haunt him. So yeah, and so that's basically that. Episode 9 is all about the past coming back to them, and Yukiatsu being a dick.
Actually, it's more than Jintan being an insensitive jerk in this episode. Because of course the more that
here's the thing, each of them are stuck in the past, even Jintan, and being an insensitive jerk is part of being stuck in the past, because all in his mind is Menma. He hasn't, you know, if it wasn't for him saying Menma is ugly back then, things wouldn't have gone a bit like this, so he wants to change. And yeah, he's also kind of jerk, but Yukiatsu has to reach a new level of being a dick.
Because he wants to steal Anna.
Yeah.
Because he wants Anaru to be.
I don't know. He doesn't know. It's more like he doesn't like Anaru. It's just more like he's just trying to get over his depression.
He thinks Anaru is the key. If they go all together, it's him.
I don't know. I'm not jumping to conclusions, but I'm just gonna say this again. Yukiatsu is being a dick, and I just wanna look forward to the next episode for whatever reason, whatever happens next.
But there's something really questions me that, but if Menma reaches to heaven, if this fireworks is really Menma's wish, and Menma's gone, what will happen with Jinta? Will he be more depressed now that this Menma will be permanently gone? Because the reason why he wasn't really pushing much on Menma's wish is because he wanted Menma to be by her side, to be in his side.
Well, seeing this as a healing anime of sorts, I think Jintan will be able to move on, I think. Mm. Because what unless they're going for a bad ending, which is kinda on the trolling side of things, but I don't think they're going there. So I think it will be a good end for everyone.
I'm expecting since this is 2 episodes. The expectation I have in Anohana is that maybe in the last 2 episodes I should cry in this last 2 episodes, maybe in the last episode, because there's a lot of build up, there's a lot of emotions just running down, and the ending is what boils it to the end or boils it to the to this roller coaster healing that is going on. Anyway, so far the pacing is correct. Yeah, I mean it is fine. So Anohana episode 9 is an excellent episode, or what do you think? Is it a good episode, or just usual? What is it?
I think it's a good episode. It's a little cut or above the normal, but yeah, it's a good episode.
Okay. Next up, Hanasaku Iroha episode 10. Yeah, episode 10. There's this warm feeling when I watch this episode. It seems that the characters are really looking very vibrant here. How they interact with Ohana being the center of attention this episode is quite amusing. Even the Heron was there to be with Ohana in this episode. He the best character is there, actually. Anyway, what do you say about this episode? I'll let you on with this first.
I think it's a good episode. It's an okay episode. Yeah, Anohana being the center of everything, and being convinced that she still needed, even if she's sick and that she must rest. It's well, kind of stretch of making an episode around that, but they accomplished the job. So yeah, I think it's kind of more on the usual. It's a good watch.
Actually, nothing
really fancy here. It's nothing really fancy. It's what you expect from Hanairo.
Actually, it keeps me suspending when I forgot the name of the waitress, the one, no, the Ohana's partner, Miku, Miho, no, Mio, forgot. Anyway, when she keeps turning on the TV, it focuses on the variety show or just a talk show that's talking about the list of hotels, if not mistaken.
Yeah,
I was looking forward to hear out the result of the result of the review. What was the result? The test that they're doing, but it keeps on cutting out on that particular show. It kind of gives me that suspension. But anyway, also, there's a lot of the illusional scenes there. Like especially the writer when he speaks about when you hear about erotic stuff, it makes you more
no, it's really nothing. I think it's part of the
actually it's not that irritating, but it's more very funny, especially when the revolving character is the manager. What was the title? I think it was called Duet Manager.
Nothing, go on.
Actually, I like the episode if it's called Wet Manager. But anyway, there's this particular scene that I really like when Ohana keeps on rising, keep on wanting to work despite his condition. So people keeps dragging him back to the bed. We see numerous people doing that. Even Toru, who is exposing himself. Or exposing himself to us that he's having this, I don't know if it's love or not, this affection, this weird affection, no, not really weird, this intimate affection to Ohana. But the one scene in those various scenes that was shown, there's something that strikes me when when her grandmother, the manager, drags Menma back to bed. There's this between Ohana and the manager that really makes an impact on me for some sort, because this is the only time that I seen that the manager is being affectionate to Ohana, as rather than this is the only time that's this clear time that I saw the manager being as a grandmother, as a relative, rather than a work relationship status quo, if I'm in my language. Anyway, that's just me.
I think it's just learning to draw the line there, you know. She's a grandma. That's outside work. So yeah, she needs to treat her with care, with kindness.
Because
it's a good.
I'm sorry. Go on.
I think so. Is a good grandmother. I think it's a good grandmother and good manager. So yeah.
Anton, do you have anything to say about the Hanasako Iroha?
Haven't watched it on it yet, actually, because of my relatively very very busy schedule. Okay. I can't describe it. Still enrollment blues.
What was the last episode you watched?
It's a shameful one, you know. I'm still stuck on episode 7.
Oh, what was episode 7? I can't remember. 6, 7, 8.
Well, me too.
So long. Since you're here, let's talk about Aono Exorcist. Episode.
I haven't watched it.
I haven't watched it. Oh, I see. Oh, anyway, to those who are listening, Anton is here. Actually, he shouldn't be here. He's under a very serious game of angry parents, and he needs to have a full deep concentration. But since this is a vacation for you, and of course we have to greet our dear
Vacation, actually a very very small vacation due to my birthday today.
Yeah, you already mentioned it. It's his birthday today. So if you're listening to this podcast, or if you have happened to listen to it or seen it on
live stream.
Yeah, live stream. Just greet happy birthday to our dear founder here. Of course you can also drop a comment when this post, although it won't be his birthday when this episode is published. But anyway, moving on. Where was I? C, Money, Soul and Possibility, episode 9.
Possibility control.
Yeah, because actually this was this, I was brought to this great hype, especially the first half, that how such a financial thing this can be so exciting. We saw Singapore disappeared, and it brought upon havoc to all of its surrounding countries. What was that? Hong Kong, Shanghai, then we are already, Japan also is on this range of on this aftershock on the disappearance of Singapore. Kuro, do you have anything to say before we analyze this a bit further?
Nothing much, really. I think the episode is basically saying two things. It's basically saying that it's, you know, don't sacrifice. I think it's basically saying that, you know, the future is in peril, what you're gonna do. And I think it's trying to show that too much focus on the present is really, really is not that okay. And second thing is that I think, as you know, season and about economics. So I think once the thing that the episode criticizes is the bad of deficit spending, which is basically means that spending way too much than you can afford.
Mm-hmm.
So deficit spending is, you know, as I've said, spending way too much more than you can afford. So what it means here is that if you spend too much on a present problem, the future, the present is secured, but the future is uncertain because you don't know what will be the recoil of consequences that action. And I think for the most part, I think it's this episode is all about that. Mm-hmm. The bad of deficit spending.
Uh-huh. Actually, supposed to be Mikuni is the one that will be affected by this settlement that Masakaki is referring to. But since he spent it.
That's the thing of.
I'll continue. I'm sorry.
Yeah, that's the thing. That's the thing. It's deficit spending. Here's the analogy, he doesn't have much Midas money, but what he does is he sacrifices 20 years of his future to gain more. So it's basically you know, shelling more of what you can afford.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, but so it should have affected only him. But since he spent it with the country.
No. Here's the thing.
Okay.
The deficit spending and what I'm talking about is about the governments themselves. Deficit spending, you know, if you're a government, let's say you're a government of a country and you have this financial crisis forever, then you went into deficit spending, let's say you borrowed from the IMF for additional cash just to fix that, then that's okay. You fix the problem. But what happens next? The descendants of the current generation will have, even before they're born, they already owe money.
Mm-hmm.
So the present is safe, but the future is uncertain. And that's what I think this episode is all about, is this analogy.
And that's why the Japan just went under
So yeah, Japan is still in one piece, but yeah, I mean they're heading into rapid depression and apathy and lethargy because it's basically you're sacrificing the future. It's basically only Mikuni to be able to think. It's not one as a big thing who supports country. Your actions are way more than just your own to yourself. It affects everybody. So that's it. Mm-hmm. Simple thing.
And now Mikuni realizes what mistake he has done. Actually, he never intended this.
No, he doesn't realize it. He never cares for that.
Until now?
Because the only thing he cares about is preserving her sister's life. That's basically his goal, his motivation.
And
he doesn't care about
the whole country paid for it.
And the whole country is paying for it. He's sacrificing the future of almost everybody else just for the future of one person. You get what I'm saying?
Yeah.
That's it. It's basically this. It's basically deficit spending for her sister to protect her present, but the thing is, he's sacrificing the future of everybody else.
And Kimimaro just realizes this at this point.
Yeah, I think it's about time that he does something epic.
Yeah, yeah. After losing a country and putting Japan into stagnation, finally decides to fight. Oh well. Although it will also have this episode also digs a bit further into the history between Kimimaro and his father, especially the resemblance of Masu to the to his father's asset. what can you say about that?
I think it'll be highlighted in the next episode.
Oh. Could it be because Kimimaro is now this impression that Masu will be his potential daughter in the future?
Yeah, I think so. I think so.
I see. Do you think that this series really is fit for this kind of duration? This is an Oitama show, and we only have two more episodes.
I don't know. I have faith in Oitama na. They learn from Rocktal. That's it.
Oh well. Although I hope that there may be another version or maybe in a DVD release that can provide a little bit more leeway on explaining such stuff. Because what C is really doing is that it's giving us this epic events, yet we don't really know what they are or how they are formed. We know that that the Midas, the financial district, is earning by taking the future from the people. And I don't know how or why Singapore's financial district crashed. What is it, because nobody is joining the financial district? Is it because there's no future in Singapore? That's why it crashes.
I think it's more of economical. It's more of an eco terms, you know. A single economy affects another country's economy. So basically, that's the most logical explanation I can say for as of the moment.
Okay. Anyway, see Money and Soul. Only two episodes left. Anton, you just released a review of Moshidora. Can you explain a little bit about it?
Well, I think that the contents of it were discussed in earlier already.
Yeah.
No need for additional explanations.
Actually, you mostly focus on Peter Drucker's main point.
Well, that's the only thing that I can come up with for now, and it's labeled as a quick review.
Although you know that Moshidora will have a live action adaptation.
I don't know. I've been unplugged from the internet for several days.
what anime did we see that commercial? I think it was.
Oh no, Exorcist. I think it's on our Exorcist.
Oh yeah. Do we have any date on when it will be aired?
I don't know.
Wikipedia says it would be on June 2011. Within this month. Oh, we forgot my additions, you know.
Oh, you have an addition
from last episode.
Okay, what's your? Do you have anything?
Yeah.
It's about the plan. It's about Universal Records' plan on distributing J-pop music, and I think the J-pop would help improve the sales.
What do you mean?
Because of the pricing, maybe the tariffs would be eliminated or not. But there's a chance, and I think it would be also better for Universal Records to prepare in-depth orders instead of just relying on basic stuff like ordering them and placing batches in stocks of it. It would be better for them to prepare the ordering.
Okay, I see. Anything
because
else?
if they do in-depth ordering, they won't bother with keeping stocks of the CDs and records, of course.
Mm.
Am I right?
I'm sorry.
In-depth ordering should be.
I mean, what do you mean in-depth? Yes. You mean bulk order?
In-depth. I'm going to type it on the chat. In-depth ordering would be easier for them, so they can gauge the market well.
I see. Oh well. Anton, do you have any? What's your plans? I'm just curious. Any anime plans while you're playing with Angry Parents? Anything? Are you still going to watch your daily dose of anime? Weekly dose. I'm sorry.
They're all on hold, actually, because of my tight schedule for this semester.
Okay.
And I have a couple of goals.
I'm sorry? What did you say?
I have a couple of goals for this semester, so I need
goals, okay.
More focus on this.
I see.
Maybe if I'm going to be lucky, maybe I can finally be slow. I can finally be active again in the next semester.
I see. So anyway, let's wrap the show up. Kuro is about to disappear or about to lag out any minute now. So Kuro. One last thing. Do a quick recommendation.
I don't have a commendation, but I just want to bring a certain news up.
Sure.
There's this certain news swirling about the internet. I mean, that one of the best voice actresses ever in Seiyu history just died of ovarian cancer. And her name is Tomoko... I forgot.
Here. Let me.
Kamikawa, just... yeah.
Ah, yeah. Okay.
Kawakami, yeah. I forgot.
Kawakami Tomoko.
And she just because of ovarian cancer and only at the age of 40, which is really, really way too sudden. And she's just like age of my mother, which makes it more painful, kind of hurtful for me. And I mean, she voiced many memorable anime characters such as Hikaru Shindo of Hikaru the Go. You know that blonde-haired Go genius? Yeah, that.
Of course, I love that anime.
She also
voiced Rune.
No, the cute fairy Sugar Rune. She voiced that, and I love that character.
Oh, she voiced that, so that's why your avatars are very familiar to me. I only watch the dub.
Yeah, it's a trip. She also voiced Meryl. You know Meryl of Rune Soldier Louis? That money-grabbing rogue thief. Yeah, that's also a Kawakami role. But for the many anime fans, and also me included, one her most memorable, her most hallmark
defining role
character would be Utena Tenju. Yeah, her defining character would be, her defining role would be Utena Tenju of Revolutionary Girl Utena. I mean, Revolutionary Girl Utena. I mean, it was just amazing. She has, Tomoko Kawakami has put so much pathos into voicing Utena. And it's unbelievable. I urge you guys, you should watch Revolutionary Girl Otena. The Japanese, not the dub. If they're in the dub, no.
What's the point?
I urge you to watch the Japanese. No, it's because of two things. Because it's more awesome in Japanese. And second, I think it's kind of a tribute to Tomoko Kawakami herself. Personally, I'm planning on marathoning Sugar Little Snow Fairy for my quote-unquote tribute of Tomoko Kawakami. But that's just me.
This is a movie. I thought it was
also yeah. Also, before I forgot, also her initial role in anime was Chiriko of Ushigeyugi.
Oh
yeah, that kid. Who plays the who plays the leaf as a so that.
This
and Utena is basically the first anime series. Then it had a movie.
I see it. It's a 39 episode started around 1997. I hope I can find a copy of this in the internet. Okay. So that's it. Let's just do a moment of silence. Kuro, are you still there, Kuro? Kuro.
Yeah, I'm still here.
So let's wrap this up. So where can you be found?
In my house, joking. I can be found at my blog, which is kuroshinko.wordpress.com. I could be found in my Skype, which is kuroshinko, and also on deramower.com. But, you know, due to classes and stuff, limited activity.
Yeah. And of course, you can find me at deramower.com. That's why I'm mostly doing the episode blogging right now. We will be doing some bit of partnership with Anime Alliance, so stay tuned for that. My Twitter is Solidad. That's Solidad. So, that's it for this show. I hope you find this English only podcast bearable. anyway, we're not usually that. We're trying. I hope that. We can get this. We can go along with this kind of a format from moving on. So that is for the show. You're listening to the Roundtable Otaku Podcast episode 4. Who has them? SP that you I never let you. Sabak hatsu shichai yo. Jibun rashi sa tte nan da ro. Hoshi uranai ja wakaranai. Yeah, man. So go to the other.